I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio. Well, Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which is returning to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. I encourage you to visit rhodapsychicfair.com. Make sure you're on the email list if you're not, and take a look at what's coming up. We haven't fully updated the website with all the new attendees, but that'll be coming very, very soon. And by being on that email list, you could be notified of upcoming events, such as the quarterly preview, which we did this last Friday at the Monterey Elks Lodge, and we'll be doing again September 29th in Monterey Elks Lodge. So get on that email list so you can be informed of those upcoming events. And also take a look at our Facebook page. Well, here we are on the 3rd of July. We are on the cusp of the 4th of July, the celebration of the founding of the United States of America. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But first, for those of you who listen, you know that I love to share from Day by Day with James Allen. Now, James Allen wrote his book in 1903, As a Man Thinketh. And he wanted us to know that each and every day we have a new opportunity to craft a new future. You see, our past thoughts, actions, habits, and beliefs have created the present reality we're in right now. And our present moment reality, the physical reality where we live, is actually what helps shape our intentions for the future, but it doesn't create our future. In this present moment, we can create a new future by changing our thoughts, our intentions, and our habits. In Day by Day with James Allen, James Allen's words have been carved up into a little bit for each day of the month so we can digest it in smaller bites. And for today, he shares with us, don't quit. Your circumstances may be uncongenial, but they shall not remain so if you only perceive an ideal and strive to reach it. You cannot travel within and stand still without. You know, there's an anonymous poem that you've all seen a portion of, I'm sure. It says, when things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. And that's important for all of us to remember. It's when we surrender, it's when we give up, it's when we stop trying, we can guarantee that the outcome we didn't want to achieve, we will achieve. But when we persist, we can guarantee we'll get close, if not get to, the outcome we wanted to achieve. And when I use the get close, I'm really referring to that very often, the way we think the outcome should look is not for the highest good of all involved. So often we get to the outcome that serves us best. It just may not look like what we thought it would. So allow yourself some room for that. And one of the things I do every day is share some positive thoughts by using daily word put out by Unity. And today it says, I live in harmony with all people around the world. But I think that helps lead to where we're going tomorrow on July 4th, which is the celebration of American independence. And I'm going to touch on that first. The first American opposition to British policy came in 1765 after the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act, which is a taxation measure to raise revenue for the standing British Army in America. In essence, they wanted to raise revenue so they could have that standing army. Now, the colonies convened what they called the Stamp Act Congress in October 1765 to vocalize their opposition to the Stamp Act. Now, with its enactment, most colonists called for a boycott of British goods, and some organized attacks on the custom houses and homes of the tax collectors. Now, as a colonial power, Great Britain had divided the world into East and West. So East was, United States was the East India Company, and West, like India, had the West India Company. And see, as the colonial power, what Great Britain had actually done is divide the world into commerce, East India commerce and West India commerce. So these various acts, even this Stamp Act, which was to tax the colonists to pay for the British army on the colonial soil, was really a way of taxing the people they were colonizing to pay for their expenses. Now, because of the boycott of British goods and the attacks on the custom houses, Parliament actually repealed the Stamp Act in March 1766. So colonists continued to quietly accept British rule until the enactment of the Tea Act in 1773. Now, this bill was designed to save the faltering East India Company, which was having commerce problems, which was having cash flow problems. And it lowered its tea tax, the tax levied on it by the British Parliament that it would pay to Great Britain. And what happened is it now undercut the cost of all tea in the colonies. So if tea came in from the Dutch, if tea came in from somewhere else, the East India Tea Company was all less, that cost less than any other tea in the colonies. So the colonists viewed this act as another example of taxation tyranny. So they'd already opposed the first one and it got repealed, but this was something bigger. And this was the act that led to the Boston Tea Party, which saw British tea valued at over 18,000 pounds dumped into Boston Harbor. So actually today, that would actually turn it around and say at 18,000 pounds, I'm not going to figure it out. I should have figured out the math before I started. But Parliament was outraged at by the Tea Party and other acts of destruction. And we have to admit, the Tea Party was actually an act of a form of terrorism, because the colonists disguised as American Indians went onto the ships, tore open the holds, and dumped the tea in the party. It was really quite an act of, I could almost call it an act of terrorism, but in that day and age. But Parliament was so outraged that they passed what's known as the Coercive Acts, also called by the colonists the Intolerable Acts of 1774. And they closed Boston to all merchant shipping, established formal British military rule in Massachusetts, no more colonial rule. They made British officials immune to criminal prosecution in America and required all colonists to quarter British troops. So the colonists then convened the First Continental Congress to consider a united American resistance to Britain. Now, Massachusetts led the resistance to the British. They formed a little shadowy revolutionary government and established militias to resist the increased British presence across the colony. And in April 1775, Thomas Gage, the British governor of Massachusetts, ordered British troops to march to Concord, Massachusetts, where they heard a Patriot arsenal was known to be located. Now, Now, following that, on April 19, 1775, the British regulars encountered a group of American militiamen at Lexington, and the first shots of the American Revolution were fired. That's the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And for those of us who went to school when they still taught American history, we've heard of this. The Second Continental Congress then, this started the skirmishes throughout the colonies. And then George Washington was put in charge to kind of bring our militias all together under a central command. And the Second Continental Congress convened, and they declared independence from Great Britain on July 2nd, 1776, with a unanimous vote for resolution on a resolution proposed by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain rule. Now, after voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining this decision for independence, which had been prepared by a committee of five led by Thomas Jefferson as its principal author. And they debated and revised the wording of the declaration, finally approving it 2 days later on July 4th. Now, the declaration, which proclaims the independence of the United States of America from Great Britain and its king, came 442 days after the first volleys of the American Revolution were fired at Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts. So really just over a year from those first shots, from those first organized fight against the British. And remember, they were also considered really not just a form of terrorists, but guerrillas, because they didn't dare face the British marching in formation. They did it from behind trees and rocks. And the British were so outraged that this would happen. The American War for Independence lasted 5 years. And in 1783, with the signing of the Treaty of Paris with Great Britain, the United States formally became a free and independent nation. Now, although there's some historical dispute whether the declaration was actually signed on July 4th, that date has come to represent the founding of the United States. And interestingly enough, on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration, both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the only signers of the Declaration who served as presidents of the United States, they both died on the same day, July 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary. In honor of what our country's declaration represented, I would like to share this reading that comes from National Public Radio.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. We bring you the Declaration of Independence.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it.
And to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security.
such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government.
The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world.
He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them.
He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only.
He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures.
He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing, with manly firmness, his invasions on the rights of the people.
He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within.
He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands.
He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount in payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance.
He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power.
He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation.
For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states.
For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury.
For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies.
For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with the power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever.
He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people.
He is, at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation.
He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, and to fall themselves by their hands.
He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury.
A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren, we have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us.
We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence.
They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation, and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends.
We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved.
And that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Church bells rang out over Philadelphia as the Continental Congress adopted Thomas Jefferson's draft of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, I'm sure most of us have not heard the full reading of the Declaration of Independence, and perhaps some of it was unknown to most of us. But it was an amazing document of its time, and still is. It was the first time a colonized people had rebelled and declared to the world their intention to be free of their colonial powers in such a way that they would live as a free and independent country of their own. It's a monumental occasion that we celebrate on July 4th. It's more than just hot dogs, hamburgers, and potato salad, and fireworks. It's really a time when a people came together with some differing desires, but ultimately an underlying desire for freedom. It's what the United States has always represented in the world, and what it's currently even struggling with today in our own divisive political environment. But that was just our introduction to tomorrow's celebration. Let's move to our segment for today. Kirilani is a healer and expert in vibrational numerology, palmistry, and tarot. Her unique fusion consultations bring great insights and transformation. She's an alchemist with essential oils, teas, and color, providing custom essential oil blends and hand-dyed silk scarves to empower the personal vibrations of her clientele. And she provides her unique Go With The Flow segment on the first Monday of each month, 5 to 6 p.m. here on Good Vibrations Radio. So let's welcome Kirilani and her Go With The Flow.
Hi, Solazar. Can you hear me? So I thought that was interesting to listen to. And looking at it from a numerology perspective, it's interesting to look at how many years old is this country? And we are going into our 241st birthday as a country. That creates the energy of liberation. And that is what this country was founded on. It was a search of liberation from oppression, search for liberation from the ties and the bonds of the British, of the overtaxation, of the control to be able to worship any way we wanted to be able to be free people, and to start a new country, a new way of being in the world. And America has served as that beacon of freedom for the world for years. And now, there's times when those very freedoms that we cherish and have valued from the inception of this country are frankly under attack from within our country, not necessarily outside. So these freedoms that we tend to take for granted on this day of July 4th, coming up tomorrow, may we hold them dear. May we cherish them. May we demand that those freedoms be upheld, because what we see outside of ourselves is a reflection of what's happening inside ourselves. And it is time in this year, this first cycle of new beginnings in a time of limitlessness, for us to claim and declare our freedom and liberation from our own limitations, our internal places where we control, whether we exert power over other parts of ourselves, usually through our mind, where we may be the oppressors in our own lives or in our own world. To look at those things and say, we want to create a new way of being in the world that's based on harmony, that's based on peace, that's based on people being able to contribute their talents and their abilities and their passions for the greater good of the all and the individual. So whatever it is for you on this 4th of July, it is a very powerful day, because it's a day that calls to us to create heaven on earth, to be heaven on earth. So whatever that heaven is for you, it may be just having a moment in the sunshine when you've had days of fog. It may be putting your arms around someone you love and just telling them how much you care that they're in your life. Whatever it is for you, sprinkle your day with that heaven on earth energy, because that ultimately, every year, is what June and July is asking us for. Now, when we stand at that crux, at that threshold between June and July, which is where we stand today, we've just come into this energy of July. We're switching from the creative cycle of the year into the manifesting cycle. So it's like the great goddess mother who says, this is all that I desire to create, and I will pass all of my dreams and desires to the divine masculine, to the manifesting energy in the universe, and ask for it to be so. So in this pass-off, it is a time of action. It is a time to dig deep to those roots of who we are, to not just ask for freedom, but demand and declare and claim our freedom, to claim the power of who we are as amazing beings of light and love and truth in the world. And it is through that claiming of our light and love and truth, that actual feeling, that touch of the eternal love of our soul, that we are truly free. It doesn't come from outside of ourselves. It comes from inside ourselves. And we've seen that through the writing of people who were in concentration camps during World War II, that was something that no one could take away from them. That part that makes us human, that part that gives us compassion and love and truly expressions of humanity, it is in that that we have our freedom. It is in that that we are liberated from our own denials, from our own lies that we tell ourselves. And what are those lies? Those lies are that we are actually separate, that we are in this life and this is all we can do, and that we're helpless and all we need to do is focus on surviving until the next day. But that is not what we are in this life to do. We are in this life to be who we truly came here to be. And as we come together in union with our souls, with each other, we exert a force more powerful on this world than has ever been seen in this lifetime, in millennia. But it's through us standing up and being authentically who we are that we claim that power. And it is through our own actions of letting go of our belief that we are separate, our belief that we are not good enough, our belief that we are somehow helpless or powerless, that we claim that liberation. We are the only ones that can free ourselves. And as we do that, some of the encroachment on our freedoms that we are seeing out in the world suddenly become simply unacceptable. And if we come from that place of power, that we are not the victim, that we are not willingly, submissively allowing that, things start shifting because we stand up for what we believe in. We take action in the direction of our dreams. We align with other people who want the same things. In a millennium that's all about connectivity, about relationships, about communication, about being stronger together than we are individually, we can do amazing things. But it all comes from us being the fullest me that I can be, right? And when we each are in touch with what our unique gifts are, our talents and abilities, our own source of power, we have more to contribute to the all in service. We have more to contribute to that amazing dance that is starting to unfold. And the time is now. It really wasn't possible before now. So celebrate where we're at. And you can look around the world and say, oh, but there's all these things that are screwed up and there's these horrible things and look what Congress did and look what the president did and look at what all these other people did. You can put all your power out there and dissipate it and actually have very little impact to the outcome. Or you can harness all of that power of who you are and put it toward the present and the future of what you do want, and be able to take action in that direction. Be willing to align with people who want the same thing and pool your power together. For when we do that, it becomes larger than each of us individually, and it becomes a force that can't be resisted. So in this month, we have punctuations of the same energy that happened tomorrow on July 4th, on July 13th and July 22nd. And it is really a call to action, a call to action of the heart, a call to action of the soul, a call to action of our ultimate purpose and destiny in this life. And then we have, and you don't see me get riled up on a go with the flow very often, but Solazar got me going. So the other things that we have punctuated throughout this month, a month that is dedicated to freedom. That's what this whole month is about. Expanding our perspective, moving beyond our limitations, growing as a soul, growing as a person. Because if we're willing to expand our perspective, we will learn things. And it may be learning, hey, I never want to go through that experience again, so I'm going to make different choices next time. It may be as simple as that. But through that process of being willing to change, we grow as a soul. We try different things on as an experiment. And sometimes it's like that, almost trying on a different outfit to go, well, I don't know what's right in this situation. Let me try this. What does it feel like? And what it feels like is our barometer. It's our calibration to say, am I on the right path? Because if it doesn't feel good, then maybe we try something else. And when I say it doesn't feel good, it's almost like when things are in a flow, you can almost feel yourself riding the river. You feel an opening up. Now, when we try something new, we might have a little bit of nervousness. In Toastmasters, they talk about before you go up are about ready to speak, a lot of times people get anxious because public speaking is one of the top fears that we have. That fear of truly expressing ourselves or being seen. And yet they teach you how to channel that nervousness into enthusiasm. So check in and say, well, am I feeling a little nervous just because I don't know what's going to come next? And if so, channel that into the enthusiasm of something new coming into your life. Because at this point, aren't you just about tired of all the old stuff? All the stuff that is old and tired and doesn't fit anymore and doesn't really create any juice or life force because it's just an old worn-out pattern. So welcome the new and make July a month to celebrate summer, celebrate the height of the light, celebrate life, celebrate love, celebrate freedom, celebrate all the goodness that you see all around you. You know, yesterday some friends took me out into Carmel Valley for my birthday to go to Earthbound Farms, and I'd never been there before. I'd been to the farm stand, but I'd never gone and wandered around the gardens, and it is an amazing experience. If you get the chance to do it, go. They have a beautiful herb garden. They've got a labyrinth built, and it's a little kingdom of all the fairies and the divas, and it reminds you of the simple beauty that is all around us all the time. We're very lucky to live on the Central Coast. And having those little magic moments connecting in nature outside, it lets your child out to play. That's what July is about. Remembering those wonderful summer days that felt like they went on forever. And if you ask someone what heaven on earth is, that childhood innocence where you felt like you could just keep going and going and going and you'd never have to go to sleep because the light stayed with you all day long. That's a little bit of heaven on earth. The ability to go down to the beach and put your feet in the ocean and feel the waves lap over your ankles. That's a little bit of heaven on earth. What is it for you? So tomorrow go out there and find that little bit of heaven on earth, wherever it is. And then as we go through the rest of July, we also have a relay point on July 6th, on July 15th, and July 24th. These bring in the Master Lovers energy. So I talked about how June and July do this pass-off from the creative to the manifesting. What heaven on earth really is about is bringing together our divine feminine, divine masculine in union within ourselves. That's where we finally let go of this concept of polarity, this concept of duality, this concept of separation that plays out just within ourselves. We don't have to look within our family or outside in the world. We can just look at the dance within ourselves of allowing those forces to come together in harmony and union. And when we do, it creates what in the tarot deck is the Master Lover cards. I love the image that Osho does of those in his Osho Zen tarot deck because it shows how when we come into balance with ourselves, the whole universe opens up to us. And in that place of opening to the truth of who we are liberated, we are free. In that place, that is where our power is. That is where our present moment is. That is where we create this beautiful world of heaven on earth. That's where we create a beautiful moment in our life. So July is full of potential, full of possibilities. And we've got some powerful moon cycles in July that I wanted to point out because one is coming up on July 8th with a full moon in Capricorn, and it's going to be our cosmic moon, our Christ moon. It's helping you with that unification process. Now, the way when Joyce Day Muse was at the quarterly preview, she was talking about the power of these moons. So for a lot of people, it's going to be an intense moon. It's going to squeeze. It's going to pull because it's playing on that polarity. But this is a great moon to go inside and to choose union, not choose separation. Choose union. Choose coming into harmony within yourself. And then on the new moon on the 23rd, another big, very intense, somewhat unpredictable kickoff to what becomes the Lammas moon cycle. So whatever you're doing that day, make it a light day on your calendar if you have a little bit of ability to plan ahead. Have it a day to go inside. The new moon is always really good for going inward. And be in a balanced place to handle whatever unpredictability may dance into your life on that day. So those are some of the highlights of the month. And then wanted to remind people of the vibrational tools that you can work with to align with this energy of freedom. And we like working with aromatherapy. I think that lemon is a great, powerful one for July, because since July is all about expansion, you can get very diffused and distracted with your energy. So the lemon helps you focus on those things that are the most important to you that lead to your manifestation. Cardamom, also excellent because it's an oil of responsibility. It asks you to stand in your power and let go of that story of being a victim or putting anything outside yourself or blaming other people. Excellent one. Zendocrine, which is a blend that doTERRA puts out. doTERRA does excellent quality essential oils that are certified therapeutic grade. So Zendocrine actually helps you integrate change. And June and July are all about change. So physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, integrating and embracing that change gracefully. It also serves as kind of a gentle detox, which is a good prep for going into August for this year. So plumeria, gardenia, kumquat. Kumquat is very uplifting for the mind and the spirit. It gets you in that playful energy, and it just amps up your energy so rapidly. We were shocked. We did it in the vibrational infusion the other night, and everyone was, you know, dancing on the ceiling. So great to have in your arsenal, kumquat. And sage, very cleansing. The colors you can work with are pink and raspberry and sepia. And you can work with food, too. So raspberries are in season, strawberries are in season, cherries. Every time you pop one in your mouth, let it be that little burst to remind you of heaven on earth, to remind you of freedom, of that sometimes when we're willing to take a chance to try something new, it's just delightful. So that, Solazar, is some of the things I wanted to share with our Go With The Flow for July.
Thank you for sharing that, Kira. And just a couple of highlights about what's going on astrologically going forward. Some of this was brought up by Joyce, as Kira mentioned, on the quarterly preview on Friday evening. But yesterday, Mars in Cancer opposed Pluto in Capricorn. So what's important about this for us? I mean, Mars is our pioneer. It's the planet of drive, of energy, and muscle. And it's opposing Pluto, which is our planet of transformation and hidden power. And this is a tricky opposition because Mars is impatient and direct, and Pluto is intense and never direct. Never. It's likely that you or someone close to you might be consumed with reaching for the gold ring. And if it's you, you might achieve something great, or someone could step right in the way to prevent you from receiving one speck of success, and they don't care how they make it happen. So take a look at what you went through yesterday. Take a look at what you're going through today and see if you're blocking someone or someone's blocking you. Either way, you have enough energy in your manifesting cycle of the year to chase your dreams. You even have the courage to ask for what you want. None of it is an issue except to let go at the moment and don't have the drama. Do your best to not linger anywhere if you are doing or saying something that someone is reacting to. Don't spend more time there. Get away from it. Get out of it. It's a good transit for achieving advancement of your dreams and your goals. But power players are out there, and some people would rather have all the power than let you even have a little piece of the pie. Back away. This transit will pass in a couple of days. We won't have the impact of it, and you can release it. And tomorrow, July 4th, Venus enters Gemini, which Joyce did mention. And this is our actual Independence Day. And while most people might have celebrated over the weekend or done other things, this is not a time for serious commitments, deep conversations, or drama once again. And for those who will be around family, avoiding drama is always going to be a challenge when families get together and they pop a few tops. Gemini is a sign of the twins, Castor and Pollux. It likes to look at all sides of things, but they like it light, fun, interesting, and casual. Venus, of course, is our planet of love, harmony, and beauty. When it's in Gemini, you're going to find yourself spending more time at the superficial level. So when Kira was talking about taking that time to go inside, this is a good time to go inside. Don't try to have the conversations externally with all your family, friends, and confidants about how you're going to change the world or yourself. Just enjoy it. Treat it as a social time. Venus is going to be in Gemini until July 31st when it goes into Cancer. That's going to be a time for deeper conversations because Cancer is a deep emotional sign. The waters run deep. So keep it casual. Keep it non-committal. Keep it superficial where you can. If you do have to have any deep conversations or you choose to have any deep conversations, recognize that it's going to require a little extra effort on your part and on the part of anyone else that's engaged in that conversation. Venus won't be there supporting you. So it may be more of an intellectual conversation than a heartfelt one. July 5th, which is Wednesday, Mercury will enter Leo. And so that's our planet of thought and speech going into the realm of bold and brash Leo. So when we couple this with Venus and Gemini the day before, knowing that our heart's going to be a little bit more at the surface level and not so deep, Mercury's in Leo, which is putting itself out there, we may find on the positive side, this may add a little heart to our brain, our little Leo to our Mercury. But it's definitely not a bad thing, provided we use it correctly. And by correctly, we have to take other people into consideration before opening our mouth. Because our real heart, which is Venus, is not going to be connected with our Mercury at this time. So what usually happens is people let their emotions and their pride speak out, that's the Leo, long before they engage any portion of the brain that thinks before it speaks. And when this happens, feelings can get hurt. But this is a good time as you feel that energy propelling you forward, as you feel the need to engage in the conversation, as you think about things, to slow down a little bit. This is midsummer. This is not the time to really race out there. It's the time to enjoy the energy of midsummer. So use this in a way where you find yourself caring as much about others as you do about yourself before you speak. Try to make that your mantra, at least for the rest of this month, until we get Venus moving into Cancer at the end of the month, and Mercury will stay in Leo for this month. So nothing is ever as serious as we think it is. It always looks better in the rearview mirror. So try to allow yourself to think, care for the other person, and then speak. And then, as Kira mentioned, that full moon in Capricorn on the 8th. Now, that full moon is going to be 9:08 p.m., Pacific time on the 8th. And so this is earthy, slightly stiff, and stubborn sign of Capricorn here. And full moons are always a more emotional time. So while you're emotionally vulnerable, we've actually opened up the emotions this week. We've made ourselves a little emotionally superficial. Then we've allowed ourselves to get brash and bold with our thoughts and words, which may create more emotions. And now we have our emotional full moon. Now, with Capricorn, we're going to have a good earth grounding, so it's not going to be the end of the world. But still, there's going to be tension, there's going to be stress. People are going to get on your nerves. And since Capricorns don't easily show how they feel, watch what you say, because it may not come back right away, but it will come back. Those Capricorns will take it in. You'll hit a nerve with someone and it won't come at you directly. You might want to watch your back. So this is a week to really say, if we start with that premise from Mercury in Leo that says, care for others before we express. Care for others and ourselves before we say whatever we choose to say. That will help us get through all of this emotional energy. And of course, Kira talked about how big this full moon is. Or actually, I guess it's the new moon is the big one. The new moon.
Both are intense.
Okay, so both are intense this month. So because of the Lama cycle that Kira mentioned. So watch where you walk physically, emotionally, and verbally starting on Saturday. Remember, goats, which is Capricorn, like their cliffs. And if you find yourself flippantly dancing around someone's feelings, it's going to come back to you later. It's a good time. The full moons tend to bring forth the culmination also of anything you've been working on since the last new moon, which was June 23rd when we had our new moon in Cancer. So some of you may find yourself reaping large rewards during this full moon, provided you've done the work and paid attention to the details. If you've taken shortcuts or used deceptive methods to try to get where you want, then you can expect that house of cards to come tumbling down. All that taken into consideration, pay attention to others. Pay attention to what you say to others. You're always going to think what you think. Just make sure that you're not always expressing everything you're thinking in this next week. And allow the energy of midsummer, which is really a calming, centering, balancing energy. Allow that energy of that Cancerian emotion running deep, running calm, looking for balance. Allow that to be your overriding mantra and umbrella as you go through some of these shifts with Venus and Mercury and the full moon. So those are the items that I wanted to bring up here. Is there anything that you wanted to share?
I think that covers a lot. I think that the one thing you mentioned that I wanted to reinforce, you said this week we opened up our emotional bodies, right? I think that that's been happening, and when we've talked to, you know, other people in our lives, July or June also worked to go down to kind of the root of what are our core woundings and allowing us to look at them through different eyes. That's that process of being able to see things through a different perspective so that they can come up and be healed. Because as we go into the manifesting part of the year, we are now launching this age of transformation of the Aquarian age. And whatever wounds or boo-boos we're still carrying with us, it is for that purpose of being able to transform them. So if you're having things come up, don't feel like it's because you're doing something wrong. Embrace them and say, aha, they are here so that I can heal and transform and release and pick a new way of being. So just wanted to share that because I think people have been having a roller coaster year. June may have accentuated that for a lot of folks. July, there is intensity. So remember when Solazar said, it's like squeezing the orange to see if you're going to have orange juice come out or whatever's inside of you. Let what comes out be love and light when you're squeezed.
No. Kira was commenting as I was potting her down. She might have messed up the quote completely. No, that's fine. It's just really whatever you put inside yourself is what's going to come out when you're squeezed, and that's fine. I want to thank Kira for quarterly preview as well as what she shared with us today. Thank those of you listening and for those who will follow on. And I want to remind you that Good Vibrations Radio will be back next Monday at 5 to 6 p.m. right here. Go to the homepage of goodvibrationsradio.com to find out how to connect. And as we close out today, I'm closing out with "This Land Is Your Land" from Peter, Paul, and Mary, just as a reminder to all of us that this land is ours, this country is ours. It doesn't matter what happens externally. It matters what we do in our little place where we're planted and how we take ownership, take responsibility, and express ourselves in the world. Thank you for listening. Many blessings. Namaste.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
I roamed and I rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert, and all around me a voice was singing, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me those golden valleys. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
As the sun was shining and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, a voice was saying, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest.